Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Keane, best-selling author of the book, The Fitness Mindset and Rewire Your Mindset, here to help you by deconstructing expert guests on all things health, fitness, and mindset. Today's guest is Dervil O'Rourke. This has been an episode that we've been trying to coordinate for about 2 years. I met Dervil on the set of RTE's Ireland's Fittest Family about 2 years ago in 2018 when I was doing the guest referee appearance on that show. And since then, Dervil is someone I've kept in contact with regularly. She's an absolute incredible person, one of my favorite people to talk to. Between health, fitness, business, family stuff, we've had so many conversations over the past 2 years, and I'm delighted to finally be able to bring her on the podcast today. A lot of you will be familiar with Dervil from Ireland's Fittest Family or from her time as a professional athlete in athletics. And she's represented Ireland in the 2004, 2008 and 2012 Summer Olympics. So she has a great background, an incredible mindset. But over the last few years, the last 8 years or so, she's transitioned out and is now supporting people online, specifically busy mums, people who are time poor, to try and get their health and prioritize the healthy lifestyle. So in today's episode, we jump around a lot of different topics, from how to build a healthy lifestyle that can help you lose weight, setting realistic weight loss goals and learning from past failures, how resilience is a learned skill and not something that you're necessarily born with, the major things that hold people back when it comes to their health and fitness, and the importance of committing to one coach, program or plan, and advice to busy mums, the importance of self-care and making sure you're prioritizing yourself. So we jump around a lot. I think if you're a busy mum, or somebody with a very busy lifestyle, this is a must listen. But to be honest, I think regardless of where you are coming from with your health and fitness background, if you're a 0 to 1 at the very start of your weight loss journey, or you've been training for the last 10, 15 plus years like me, I think you're going to get so much from this conversation. I absolutely loved it. Dervil is one of my favorite people. So without further ado, here is today's episode, long overdue episode, Dervil O'Rourke on building a healthy lifestyle, reflecting on failure and looking out for the major things that hold us back. Enjoy. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today with my guest, Dervil O'Rourke. Dervil is an Irish former sprint hurdles athlete. She competed internationally in the 60 and 100 meters hurdles and is the Irish national record holder in both events. She participated in 2 indoor world championships, 5 outdoor world championships, and the 2004, 2008, and 2012 Summer Olympics. Dervil is also a coach on RTE's Ireland's Fittest Family, proud mum, and best-selling author of the 2 cookbooks, The Fit Foodie and Food for the Fast Lane. I'm looking forward to talking all things health and fitness in this long overdue episode. Dervil, finally, welcome to the podcast.
Brian, we made it. We eventually started talking. Like, we always talk, but we have been trying to do a podcast, I would say, for 2 years.
It's definitely been that long, because I feel we've had so many conversations back and forth, and we'll have a catch up about life, about family, about fitness, and it'll be like, we do the podcast. It's like, yeah, let's set it up for next week. And that's happened like 10 times over the last 2 years.
I'm definitely at fault for it, though. So I'm gonna take the blame for it. But I'm really excited that we have finally organized it. I mean me, that I've finally gotten it together and that we're actually talking.
Me too, Dervil. I'm really excited to dive into today's conversation. Just for everybody listening, a lot of people will be super familiar with you because, again, you have such a history in terms of sport, health, fitness and wellness in general. And people will know you from Ireland's Fittest Family, from the books, from your years as a, you know, one of the top sporting performers in the country. But tell us a little bit about your background. What got you into the world of health and fitness first? Just kind of a little bit of a brief synopsis, and then we'll kind of dive into what you're kind of majoring in right now and how you're helping people online.
That's actually really interesting. I don't think anybody's ever asked me that before. So when I competed for 14 years as a professional track athlete, and in that time, one of my major interests was like, how do I set up my systems and processes to feel my best and perform at my best? And that all kind of came back to my overall health and wellness. And it would come back to like, okay, what's happening with the physical training? What's happening with what I'm eating? What's going on with my mindset? And I was very much involved in all those aspects of my career. So I used to sit down and like kind of high performance manage myself. And I found it fascinating. in terms of how I can be my overall healthiest to ultimately perform. And then, so then when I was really fortunate in that, because I was in that world for 14 years, I was getting access to the best people in the world. So I could get access to trainers that were just really incredibly knowledgeable, the same with like nutritionists, dietitians, the same with psychologists. And that wasn't just in Ireland, like that was all over the world when I was traveling. So I used to constantly like be like kind of upskilling myself and learning about the whole world of health and fitness. And at the same time during my career, I got a job working. So I was being a track athlete, but like a lot of the time you're not making money. It's a really, really hard world. It's a really hard profession to make money and actually sustain yourself out of. So I was working full time at one stage in DCU in the University in Dublin in the sports center. And I was there for like, I'd say 1.5 to 2 years. And then my career was kind of taking off at the same time. And I was starting to earn enough money not to need to have kind of another job to make some money. But when I was in DCU, it kind of brought, like I was learning so much being a professional athlete about what I needed to do for myself. And then when I was working in DCU Sports Center, I was dealing, like my main job was like the customers. So like I was dealing with everybody. I was memberships, it was like new members, it was retention on memberships, I was dealing with any issues. And it was like an amazing experience. And I think it's actually really stood to me in what I'm doing now. And I just started really finding it interesting, like people's pains with health and wellness in terms of like, what were the areas that were really frustrating them? Even back then, it's not dissimilar to how it is now. It was like weight loss was frustrating them. In terms of mindset, it was like they'd get into a rut and they'd start to feel negative. So you're kind of dealing with all the members and trying to come up with solutions for them. So I would have been kind of talking to the different PTs and trainers there saying, oh, look, we've a few members that are feeling like this. Let's try and find a solution for them. And I loved that. I loved it as a job. I loved the whole world of fitness. I love bringing the things I was learning as a track athlete into that, like into people's regular lives. And then I started running really fast and my career really took off and I left there, but I did a master's in business management. So a lot of the stuff I studied in my master's, it was like how to kind of set things up, how to set up a business. And, you know, I did a lot in terms of like, I'd study like different areas of health and wellness. And then very, very randomly, I had this notion that I wanted to write, kind of inspired by all the people I was dealing with when I was in the gym. I wanted to write a healthy eating cookbook that wasn't miserable and wasn't a diet book. So like, I didn't exactly pitch it to the publisher like that, but I felt like there was really a space to embrace healthy lifestyle in a way that's not miserable and restrictive. And I pitched it to a publisher and then I literally started, like took out notepad and paper and started writing it. And I went to cookery school. So I went to the Olympics in 2012, came off the track, went on a really short holiday in West Cork, typical Cork person. I go on holidays in Cork. And then I went to cookery school in Dublin cookery school. So I like upskilled and I felt like all the information I had from like dietitians and nutritionists, I also wanted that element of like taste, because I feel like that's really important when it comes to food. I think it's not sustainable to be healthy long term if what you're doing is a bit miserable. So it was very important to me that there was like that whole chef element in my approach to food. So the book was like, I think a really big, the first book, Food for the Fast Lane, was my first probably part of starting that career that wasn't just a professional track athlete. So the book came out in 2014. And thankfully, it did really well. People really responded to it. And then I wrote a second book. But at the same time, while I was writing the second book, I started becoming really passionate about digital. I started finding it really interesting how we were all online so much more. And I started finding, you know, it interesting, like, how can we be online? But how can you provide good content and content that adds value for people? And I started trying to figure out how do I launch something that, so I had these, the second cookbook came out and that did well as well. And I didn't want to write a third cookbook. I really wanted to launch something online, but something that I didn't just want to launch them. I wanted them to launch something that gave value. And if that meant only 100 people ever joined and only 100 people ever got value, that would have been enough. But it took me probably, I mean, it's 2020 now, and I would say we're really into a good groove. So I launched Dervil.ie 2 years ago. We turned the button on for it to go live 2 years ago. It took 2 years before that to build it. I built two really bad versions, and then the third version was much better. And now we're live 2 years. We have over 8,000 subscribers, members on the site, part of the community, and it's absolutely buzzing now. And now what I do is I just bring in, I come up with all the kind of content ideas. And I, you know, we currently have a challenge, Operation Red Dress. It's a 6-week challenge leading up to Christmas. And in that, there's a fitness element, there's a nutrition element, and there is mindset through mindfulness with a really well-qualified lady. So that is a really long answer for you, Brian, but hopefully it makes some sort of sense.
That helps massively, because I've got so many questions and you've kind of given me loads of avenues into it. And you mentioned it there about the nutrition, fitness, mindset element. And on Dervil.ie, like, there's so much on there. We're going to explore even some of the actual tangible things that people can follow up on at the end of today's episode. But before we do that, I definitely want to dive into the favorite thing that I've seen on Dervil.ie. And I know this from your content on Instagram and from your social media content, and you've just mentioned it there. You take such a holistic approach, and I think it's that separates you from other people who are putting out, you know, similar fitness content or similar mindset content or similar nutrition content. You have this hub where everything's in one, and from that you obviously get lots of different people coming in, members, subscribers coming into your environment. What's the biggest thing that you tend to find that your audience struggle with?
That's really interesting. And yes, that's a lovely compliment, because I do really look at it from a holistic point of view, because that's how I looked at myself in my career. And that's how I look at myself now, because I am my members. Like, I am a really busy, stressed, addled mum of two, trying to juggle everything, myself and a lot of my friends. And that's who our members are. So I think the biggest thing that we have from people out and out, the biggest thing is people, I think they get it. People can get into a little bit of a rut. So they haven't done a lot for themselves in a long time. And I think people struggle to put themselves on the top of their to-do list. And by themselves, I mean like their health and wellness. So they might have a job where they're trying to do everything for their boss. And then at home, they're trying to do everything for their family. And you just kind of fall lower and lower down that to-do list till eventually you just fall off it. And nobody is going to tell you to put yourself back on. So I think that's a lot of people. They kind of want to start, like they want to start or restart, but they've done stuff in the past and it hasn't been sustainable. So like, we have a lot of people on the site who've been with us for 2 years. And like, that's a key thing for me, like that, when that people will do it long term. Yes, we run these challenges that are 4 weeks or 6 weeks, but then we'll run another challenge. And it's not about kind of just doing something really well for 6 weeks. It's about living your life in the long term. For me, I always say it's about walking down a beach when I'm 80 and feeling physically and mentally good. So for me, people, loads of people will come on for different reasons, but I guess primarily it's that people want to do something for themselves. They want to feel, and often the symptom of that is they'll say like, I want to lose weight, I have 2 stone to lose. They'll just pick a random number. I have 3 stone to lose, I have 4 stone to lose. So, and like, we, one of the things I pride myself on with Dervil.ie is our customer service. So like, if someone reaches out and sends us an email, and we'll always try and get back. Now at the moment it's particularly crazy with emails, and we're working really hard to get back to everyone, and we will get back to everybody because we've launched this shop as well, a product. But you know, people will reach out and they'll often start with that, like, oh, I want to lose 2 stone, but then they'll share the rest of their story with us, like, oh, you know, they might have gone through something really difficult. And I kind of think you have to be very careful with people, and that's why I bring in experts. So everybody who works on my site is amazingly well qualified, and I find them really inspirational in how qualified they are and what they do. So like, whilst they might say it's weight loss, and the majority of people will, it's often that they are just having a tough time and they kind of want to reclaim their lives a bit. So yeah, it's it's fascinating, and it's all for me as someone trying to provide the best possible solutions for them. It's always challenging, but also really invigorating that somebody trusts you. Someone trusts you with that, that they want to put some time and effort into themselves, and they're trusting you to give them the tools to do that. I think that's a really privileged position to be in.
I'm going to throw you a little bit of a left field question, which might be a tricky one to answer, but just you've given me a really something that I've been kind of addressing and thinking about myself recently is questions that come in my way on my platform, ones that challenge me, ones that make me think it's not a, you know, you get this as well, Dervil, on your platforms, you know, how do I lose weight? Calorie deficit. Yeah. Find a nutritional plan that works for you, you know, move more. Like, they're nearly automatic answers. They don't really, once you've been doing it for so long as a fitness professional, they don't really challenge you. Can you think of an example, though, of either from a subscriber or someone on your membership or even through social media of a question that has recently challenged you, one that you had to kind of think about before you answered? And just, it might be a specific example with a person, or it might be a concept in general, but does anything spring to mind when you think about something that's challenged you recently?
Do you know the one that always stops me in my tracks is when somebody shares something really personal and it's a really difficult situation, and you know, we've had people on, like we have people on there who've experience loss of a child or, you know, a partner or something, and they're coming on there because they're kind of saying to you like, oh, I've let myself go and this and that, and then they've actually then they tell you more and you realize they've actually gone through something horrendously difficult and they're just trying to survive that. So that often stops me, and I'm very mindful. You know, that was actually something at the moment that we're doing on the site. We've a brilliant lady, she's a doctor, she's Michelle O'Driscoll, she's a pharmacist originally, and then she uptrained in mindfulness, but she's doing mindfulness content at the moment in the challenge, and that was really important to me because I was getting various things from people who had been through a really, really tough time, and I think this year in particular has been so difficult. And one of the first things like Michelle did was share these content, you know, these lines, you know, Samaritans, Parent Line, like various resources for people. And I think that's really, really important. And I think it's often at the center of what I do is like, we provide these tools and they're brilliant and I love the content that we do, but sometimes people need more and they need you. I think it's really detrimental to think that you have the answer to everything. I don't have the answer to everything, but sometimes what I do is I'm the person that will open the door on the site and in the group. Like, we have a private group and it is an amazing place. It's like one of the most positive places on the internet, and people help each other and they'll talk to each other, and someone might come on with something difficult they're experiencing and someone else will say, well, you know what, I actually did this and it was really helpful. So I guess for me, yeah, that's always a challenge when someone has joined because they feel like they need to move a bit more. But actually, when you peel back the story, there's a lot more going on. And that's just really tough. I think you just never know what people's struggles are.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. And as I said, I think your approach to that, and as you said, you're so mindful with people have different issues or different pain points or different struggles that they're going through. And I think when they're navigating through you, through your team, through the website, and having a community like that, I think that's so important for helping people get over whatever thing it is that they're going through, whether that's just to lose weight so they can feel more confident, or something more extreme like loss, like you talked about. Again, not an area I'm going to speak on, it's far outside my circle of competence, but I am going to circle back a little bit from one extreme back to the other, because one of the things that jumps out on the website, Dervil, is that the 7-day free trial you have, and I know you've got a lot of home workouts in there, you've got, as you said, mindfulness stuff, there's a little bit of everything between the challenges and the evergreen content that's on there. But with that, you've had a lot of people come through that trial, a lot of people sign up, a lot of people that have been in your ecosystem for a long time now as a result. But what advice do you generally offer people when they're looking to start a fitness journey first?
Okay, if someone is looking to start a fitness journey, whether it's with me on the site or whether it is with somebody else, I think you have to start something that's realistic. So what are, like, what are the reasons? And I know sometimes people don't like to think like this, but if you've done something in the past, what are the reasons why it didn't work out? Like, be really honest with yourself. Did you start something and did you, maybe you didn't enjoy it? Maybe you committed to 6 days a week, but you're actually also working a job and doing all these other things. So I think being really realistic about the time that you're willing to put in and being accountable to yourself is really, really important. And that's a massive thing with the site, in that like most of our workouts, it's extremely rare for them to be over 30 minutes. They're generally somewhere between, like, we do have some 5 minute workouts, which I love. They're not like workouts, but they're literally 5 minute blast of getting something done. But I think if you are already time poor, which a lot of people are, and also if you're starting and your base is, if you feel your base is low, you don't want to absolutely batter yourself and then not be able to do anything. This is about your whole life. Like, this isn't about the next few weeks. Yes, try and get results for the next few weeks, because I know that's motivating. But consider, like, what you do you want to be in 12 months? What would success look like to you in 3 years? Like, what would your life, your a fantastic life, and look like to you in 5 years? So I think before you start taking that time and sitting down with yourself and just looking at, like, okay, where do I want to get to, but what's the reality of the time I can put in? And I think enjoyment is really important, and support. So it's like, reality of time you can put in, what will you genuinely enjoy, is it going to be supportive, and is it the type of support that will resonate with you? So like for us, the vast majority of our members are on our private Facebook group, and it works really, really well. There's a number of them that aren't, and that they don't need that support. That's not something that they come to the site for, but there's a huge amount that they do come to the site for that. So I think it's really, really thinking about what will work for you is really important, and what hasn't worked for you in the past. Like, an example I always give is, I went through a stage after I retired from athletics where I was like, do you know what? I'm going to do spinning now, because I don't want to be doing too much that's on my feet and impact, and my body needs a bit of a break. I couldn't think of anything more miserable than going spinning. It was horrendous. I hated it. I hated the nature of the class. I hated the shouting. I hated when they tell me go faster, I wanted to go slower. I was the worst spinner in the world. And then after a while, I was like, why am I torturing myself with this? Like, I don't enjoy it at all. So I just stopped, and I'll never go on a spinning bike again. But that doesn't, that's absolutely fine. So that's why I think you have to, and even though sometimes you need to push yourself during sessions, and at the time you're like, oh my God, this is torture. But actually, if you feel good afterwards, and if when you go into it knowing that you'll finish it and you'll be really happy that you did it, I think that's really, really important. I think sometimes we beat ourselves up so much. And a lot of, I think, of when it comes to fitness and it comes to reaching your goals, I think a huge part of it is your headspace. And I think sometimes if you're going into something thinking, oh, you know, I failed and I've done really badly and I've let myself go to this point or that, like, there's no point you can't restart from. There's no time where you cannot go, you know what, today's the day where I'm going to invest in myself and become a little bit better.
What that reminds me of straight away is when I tell people, very similar words to what you said there, you're nearly working towards your target self. It's like, what would the you of a year look like? What would the you of 3 years look like? And constantly working towards that target self. I think that's something I do myself in my own life, and it's really connected with me there. I'm curious, Dervil, because you've mentioned, yeah, not in so many words, but definitely that there's no point that people can't restart from. And I know a lot of people listening to this podcast struggle with things like failure, and I've talked about this countless times myself and with other guests about, like, rewiring failure as feedback. Do you think that your ability to see failure as something that's a potential learning curve, is that from your years, 14 years and plus longer, because you've been in athletics longer than that even, is that from your background as an athlete, or is that just something that you've always kind of had innately in terms of your mindset?
I think I learned it. I think anybody can learn it. I think we're not naturally resilient, I don't believe. I think resilience is something that's learned, and I think it often comes from what we perceive as failures. But I look back at my track career, and I think I ran roughly around 500 races. And I can genuinely, hand over heart, tell you that 7 of them were absolutely awesome. And the rest of them were, some of them were horrendously bad, some of them were middle of the road, and some of them were okay and grand. So that's a lot of not doing what I want to do in a race over a long sustained period of time. But like I started to really realize it's not about winning all the time. It's not about being your perfect self all the time. It's about being on the road to progress. And it's about going, okay, that didn't go exactly the way I wanted it to go. Like, what could have gone better? What did I learn from it? You know, what was good about it as well? And I think that's why I would say to anybody who's thinking about starting, you know, and if they're looking back at times that hasn't worked out or how they've gotten to this point, like, do really think about it. Like, think about what you learned to get to this point, because you've lived stuff and you've gone through stuff and you've survived stuff that has made you get to this point. So that's fantastic. So then how do you become better and how do you become happier? Because that's the ultimate thing. Like, we all want to be happy and joyful and feel our best and be healthy and live really long lives and be our best selves. I think firstly, it has to be for yourself and then for everybody else around you. So yeah, I think failure, honestly, I'm not just saying this, my greatest learnings are from the fact that things have never gone exactly how I would have liked them to go. You know, even Dervil.ie, the very first site I launched, and I was so excited, site went live and it just wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough to service people. But I didn't just give up on the idea. I knew I still wanted to provide this great place for people. So I went at it again. It still wasn't good enough. And then the third time I licked my wounds and I was like, okay, let's do this again. And I think it's the same with people's fitness. Like, it's okay that it didn't work out. Like it's okay to like forgive yourself and be like, oh, you know, life can be hard. But the other thing is you only have one life. So if you're stuck in this place where you're not enjoying that life, I think then you have to change it and you have to take care of yourself. You have one life, you have this one amazing body that you've been given to try thrive with. So just do try and put time into it.
Oh, you're preaching to the converted there, Dervil. It took me 3 attempts to get my personal training business off the ground. Like, 2 absolute horrible failures. Yeah, I'll never forget those times going through the back of my couch for money, especially the second time. Yeah, just it's one of those, but it's just a learning curve. It literally gives you a reference point for where you don't want to be again. I'm going to ask you a question now. It's a little bit more macro, but it ties into what you said there. But I'm very curious, just as someone that, again, I love your mindset. I love your approach to things. You don't half-ass anything. If you're in something, you're all in. I got that from the first day we met. I'm like, man, Dervil doesn't do things by halves. Like, it's just all in. And I think that's why you're so successful as an athlete, now as an entrepreneur, as a health and fitness professional. But from your experience, Dervil, what do you think holds people back? Well, either their mindset side or when they're trying to hit a health or wellness or fitness goal, what's been the kind of common trends that you see that tend to hold people back?
I think a really simple thing is not giving yourself enough time to achieve what you're trying to achieve. So if you have been doing something for a sustained period of time and actually you're trying to retrain yourself to have different habits, you have to give yourself time for that. So if it's food, it is a case of, I think the greatest and most important thing in diet and weight is how you cook, is like upskilling yourself to be able to cook food that you enjoy, that's healthy for you. But that's not going to happen overnight. Like, I went to college, a typical Irish child, where my mother had done everything for me. I rolled up in college, I could barely work a microwave. And I ended up putting on like a lot of weight in first year college as an athlete, which is a total disaster for performance. And I had to learn to cook. So I think I had to give it time, and I had to, as a skill I had to learn, and I learned more and more as the years went on. And then I ended up becoming really passionate about it and going to cookery school. But my parents think it's hilarious now that I've written cookbooks, because I mean, they were trying to grate onion and carrots into my food so I'd eat vegetables as a teenager, you know, like I was that child. So I think you need to give yourself time. Anything that you want to change or improve, upskill on, you have to go, how much time can I give? So if it is fitness, don't be vague with yourself. Like, so one of the things I would always say to people, like, so they come to me and say, oh, I really do want to get fitter, where should I start? So like, we do live workouts. That's something we introduced this year on the site, that we, Mondays and Thursday nights, we generally have lives at 7:30. So I'm like, commit to the live, to being there, like, and put that in your diary and write it in your diary. And then with food, it would be like, okay, you don't tackle everything at the same time. Don't be like, my diet needs to be way better. Okay, tackle either dinners, let's try and get your dinners better. Just focus on dinners for a few weeks. And then after that, then focus on snacks. Then maybe focus on breakfast. Then maybe focus on portioning. So it's taking all those small parts and slow, like what you're doing when you're doing that then is you're laying these like foundations and building blocks for a better, longer term you, as opposed to taking everything on, dropping everything else in your life and trying to be immaculate with something for a few weeks. Like that's never going to work. You're just setting yourself up to fail. So I do think being like, what is the reality of the time I can put into this is really important. I hope that answers the question.
That's, yeah. And one other thing I'm going to add on, just to, you mentioned cooking there and kind of skill acquisition. And when it comes to what holds people back, like sometimes, you know, that can be a multitude of answers, but for people listening, sometimes it's education. Like sometimes it's a skill acquisition that you need to acquire, in the sense that if you struggle with food, maybe you should learn how to cook. You know, if you struggle with education around food, maybe you should read a nutritional book. Like sometimes education is the thing that's holding you back. Sometimes it's something else, you know, yeah. Biggest enemy being between your two ears, you know, that you're kind of talking yourself out or self-sabotage. But a lot of cases it can be fixed by education. And you're kind of giving me a lovely segue, because you talked about commitment there and putting it into your diary. And one of the things that I've been working through, which I love, is my healthy lifestyle journal that you sent me, Dermot. I absolutely love it. Talk to us about the healthy lifestyle journal, because I think this is just, I'm somebody that's very much what gets measured gets managed. Like I write everything down, my workouts get written down, my daily tasks get written down, so it's very much in alignment with how I am. But talk to us about the journal.
Okay, I'll tell you something funny about the journal first, and then I'll actually talk about it practically. I've always used a journal, honestly, since I was a child. I remember I had a coach when I was 13, and he showed me how to start planning to race well. Okay, you start writing down the dates that you're working towards, then you come back from that and you start writing in the things you want to achieve before you get there. So since I was like 13, I have had a journal that I've written down various things in. So it's always been in the back of my mind to try and create some kind of journal that was practical, functional, but not preachy. That's the best way I could describe it. But so I love the new journal, but I have all my information. So what I write in mine is like, we're doing this podcast. I write down, I have kind of five boxes. So I'll write down two things for work that need to get done on that day. Then I'll write down something for my overall health and wellness that I want to do in that day. And then whatever else is going on, I'll try and fill that out as well. But I write it in and I look at it then. So I'll look at it the night before I go to sleep, knowing how my day looks the next day. I'll always look at it on a Sunday evening. I could not find my journal this morning. And I knew we were doing this podcast. And I knew I had a couple of other things going on, but I couldn't remember the details on it because I couldn't find the journal. My kids took the journal and they basically absorbed it into their 1 million books of stories. And it was hidden in my house and I was running around like an absolute crazy person trying to find my journal. Like that's how important it is to me. So yeah, that was the start of my day with my journal. And I was ringing my husband at work being like, have you seen my journal? But he thought I was asking him, because it's so new, had he looked at it properly and does he think it's lovely? He was there. Yeah, Jerv, no, it's really nice. No, you've done a really good job. And I was like, no, have you seen it? My journal. So anyway, I just thought that was very random and funny. So anyway, I found my journal. With the community, right, which is amazing, we do these ebooks all the time and I'm always telling people to print them. There's so many resources on the site. But the reality is, like, the great thing about being in digital, you can look at the numbers, and I looked at the numbers and the amount of people that I wanted to be printing them weren't printing them. So I was like, oh, I think I'm going to. So what I did was I went through all the data on the site and I figured out the most used resources, the most clicked on this year, the things that resonated with people the most. And then I decided I was going to put them into one journal. And also I wanted a place where people could plan out their week. So we put that in. And then, but then I wanted it to be really beautiful. And I knew this Cork illustrator, Belinda Northcote, and she has this illustration that a lot of people know, the positivity tree, which is just a tree with leaves on it, loads of colors, really beautiful with loads of words. So I went when lockdown wasn't as strict and I had a cup of coffee with her. And I asked her, basically, could I use her illustration? So funnily enough, when you mentioned Fittest Family at the start, when we filmed Fittest Family this year, that's when I did a lot of the creative on the journal, because, you know, because you've worked on it, it's like 12, can be 14 hours on site for like not a huge amount of filming some days. There's a lot of hanging around. And I gave myself that headspace when we were filming it this year, that that was my big project, that I was like, I'm going to create the journal that I love while I'm on site filming in the downtime in between takes. So that's a bit of background to it. And thankfully, it's really, really resonated with people, with the members. It's really helped to take, like, I adore digital and I love technology, but also I think there's enough space to have physical offline product as well as an online product, and to try and marry the two of those together.
Yeah, again, as I completely agree with you. I'm the same. I love digital. I love courses and programs, and I do loads of them myself. But there's definitely a space for, again, when it comes to writing things down like journaling, I can't do it digitally. Maybe it's an age thing. Maybe it's an age thing where I'm just like, no, can't do it in Google Docs or on a calendar. I'm like, I need a physical book that I can write into. But I love it.
You know what's funny? What's funny? Sorry to cut across. What's really funny about that is, like, people send me these emails for meetings, and it automatically goes into the calendar on my computer, and it blows my mind. I'm there like, whoa, they put themselves into my calendar on my computer, because I really only engage with my diary, like, and with my journal. I sit down and I write down all the dates and I write down everything that's happening. So I think it's really funny. And I do think, even though we're trying to get more people, I know a lot of people are trying to do it more digitally, I just don't think that it lands as much with people. And I think there's a huge amount to be said for physically sitting down with something, writing in it and committing to it. So like there's goal charts in there. It's not random, because it's all in the same thing of healthy lifestyle, but like it goes like every month there's a theme. So like the first month is the shopping list and having like an organized shopping list. And then the next month is food portioning, because actually, you know, you've asked me about what people struggle with. That's a big thing people tend to struggle with, is how much they eat. Either they under eat loads and then they just eat loads because they're so hungry, or they eat way too big portions at various meals. That's something we've definitely discovered in the past 2 years on the site. But so we put food portioning in there, but then it could go on to like goal setting. And then one of the things in it is like what I was saying to you earlier, is like, what's your ideal, what's your dream life in 1 year and 3 years? Because I think it's about the whole picture, and I hope I've captured that in the journal. But being like typical with my personality, the journal came out and I adored it for about 12 minutes. And then I was like, on the next version, I'll do this. And then I'll do this, you know. So that's just the way I roll. I always think about what's going to come next.
That's the kind of perfectionist mindset. I totally get that, in the sense that you can, for a couple of minutes, you're like, yeah, really happy with this. And then it's like on to the next thing, which is, you know, it's its own kind of work to deal on in itself as someone that connects with you on that level. But that kind of gives me a nice little tie into what I want to ask you next. And you've mentioned healthy lifestyle, obviously the journal and everything, your entire brand, Durvel.ie, is all based around that healthy lifestyle. And you kind of gave a sample there of even your mindset when it comes to, you know, first 12 minutes, you're like, this is amazing, but this is what I'm going to do for version two. When it comes to kind of health or fitness, what's been the biggest thing you've changed your mind about in recent years?
Oh, that's interesting. In terms of like the biggest health and fitness trend that I don't believe in anymore.
Yeah. Maybe one that you kind of held as nearly a belief system at one point in time, regardless, it can be in any area, that you don't necessarily think is true right now, or you've at least questioned it and you're not so sure of it.
That's really interesting. I really debate in my mind all the time about weight loss and about servicing that need in the market, because people, I think there's two sides to this. I think there's the body positivity movement, which is absolutely amazing, but then the flip side of that is it's okay for someone to want to lose a little bit of weight to feel more confident. So I guess something where I think you wouldn't have had the body positivity move 10 years ago. So I think it's amazing that people are embracing us in all different shapes and sizes, but I think it's kind of disingenuous to not listen to people if they do want to lose weight. So I think definitely an area that I try to be very open-minded and listen to people on how they feel about weight. Like even for a year and a half on Durvel.ie, we did very little where we talked about weight loss. we very much talked about healthy lifestyle, which is really the core of everything we do. But actually, the feedback we got, because I think you have to listen to people, is they wanted us to talk to them about weight loss. They didn't want us to ignore it. So it was like the big kind of pink elephant in the room. So 2 years ago, when I pressed live on the site, I would have said, do not mention weight loss. We are not that. We are not a weight loss company. We are a healthy lifestyle company. But now I probably I'm much more open-minded to that, but always in a way that I hope is really valuable and expert-led and expert-driven, not faddy. Because if people come onto our site and do the content, so many people lose weight, but that's not something I massively publicize. Because I don't, not that I don't care, of course I care, but mainly I want them to feel well. I want people to feel well and be confident and happy and really, really get value from the site and from anything that we do. So I would definitely say weight loss is an area that, not that I've changed my mind yet, but I think we shouldn't be afraid to mention it.
Yeah, I think that's really useful. Like, as you said, sometimes it's the losing weight or changing body composition that is giving somebody the confidence. Now, again, I'm very mindful just to kind of park my opinion on this for people of the I'll be happy win fallacy, that if you think that, I put up a post on Instagram last week that like losing weight will solve all your weight loss problems, but that's it. You know, it doesn't solve all of your life problems. You'll just weigh less on the scale. That if you're looking to feel happier, if you're looking to feel, you know, fill another void, weight loss isn't necessarily going to be the answer to that. Again, some people's life quality will dramatically improve if they lose weight, if they're overweight or obese. But for people that are just looking to, you know, the red dress people looking to look a bit better for Christmas or the new year or for the summer or whenever it is, sometimes the body compositional change doesn't make you feel any better. That's why the process and what you do, Derval, on sustainability is so important, and focusing on that wellness aspect and how they feel, and then having weight loss is like a really nice byproduct of that. And one of the things that you don't do, and I have, for anyone that's, you know, and Derval, you know this, I do very little prep for podcasts when I'm talking to friends. Like, I've literally got like 5 bullet points in front of me here, and that's literally what I'm working from for the whole podcast. One of the things that I had that I wanted to talk to you previously on, that I'm going to change now since we were chatting a little bit off air before we pressed record, was I was going to ask about misinformation online. And as someone that is very clear on your approach, the healthy lifestyle, the holistic model, it's very obvious the angle that you take fitness and wellness from. It's one of the reasons I love it and connect with it so much. But you don't follow that many other fitness people or health people online. And I was going to ask about the misconceptions or the pet peeves that you might see from, you know, social media and people promoting fad diets, etc. But I know you're the queen of muting things, that you're like, well, this isn't my market. I do the same thing, by the way. Like, if it doesn't serve me, I just like, cool, I'm going to mute that. I'm going to curate my feed. How do you, and I'm going to ask you kind of a two-part question on this, because I'm going to ask what you recommend as well. But how do you curate your content online in terms of social media? Like, do you have certain people that you follow and you connect to them because they're providing you value in a specific area? Or, you know, what's your kind of consumption behavior when it comes to even health and fitness? Because you're so knowledgeable on your area. Is it from working with your experts on Derval.ie? Or is it just you follow a handful of people online and that's whose content you consume? What's your kind of consumption behavior around it?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I could probably stay talking about this all day long. So when I was an athlete, I learned really early on that you cannot listen to everybody. If you have a goal and you want to achieve something, you have to commit to generally one coach, but maybe a few other people that feed in information, but there's one central point and you commit to that. And that, I think, is a really important approach online as well. So if you are someone who is looking to improve your lifestyle, I think commit to a person or a plan and go with that. So for me, whenever anybody commits to Derval.ie, I know they're not just committing to me. I am the face of it and I'm definitely behind so much of it, but actually you're committing to a team of experts. So there's lots of people, different people who are involved. So I think that's an important thing for me. So I don't really consume a lot of health and fitness. I was saying, yeah, we were chatting about that before we came on. I mute loads of accounts, and not because I wouldn't necessarily enjoy their content, but like if I want to talk about fitness sessions and my fitness goals, I talk to the fitness trainer that we work with, Kate. If I want to look at Pilates, I look at Gillette that does our Pilates. You know, if it's food, there'll be other people. If it's Headspace, there'll be other people. So that's I don't like my brain getting too muddled. And I sometimes feel like when I'm online, it can make my brain feel like it's going really, really fast. And I don't enjoy that. I don't find it calming. So I look at a lot. I love inspirational accounts with like women who are running their own businesses. I really relate to them. I mean, I would watch Marissa Carter's account from going from talking about a new Coco Brown product to what Christmas decorations she's bought. I mean, I find that very interesting. You know, I really enjoy Just Jordan's account because she's talking about her different products and then her general lifestyle. You know, Pippa O'Connor has just launched a new cosmetic brand. So I'm finding that really interesting to follow that journey. So those things give me a bit of energy and they serve me. Whereas if I'm looking at too much of the health and fitness stuff, I'm thinking about it, it muddies me a bit, so I don't do it. But the other thing I've just started doing with my phone is my phone tells me at a certain time of night, I'm kind of not allowed to look at it anymore. And it goes into this like kind of nocturnal mode on the phone on my Apple. And I do that and I really try and obey it. And because I think late at night as well, I think when you're a bit tired, you can start going down rabbit holes and it's not good for you.
Yeah, I've got that 6 p.m. cutoff time on my social media when you're feeling a bit fatigued and comparison syndrome.
It's like at that time of the night, right? For me, it's more like 9 p.m. So fair play to you for 6. But for me, it's like everyone's house looks more organized. Everyone looks like a better parent to me at that time of night. Everyone looks like they're more together with their careers. Everyone looks like they're doing a better training session. Their dinners are nice. Like everybody looks better. But actually that's not reality. So it's really important to mind what you're like. I think if you're consuming stuff and it's giving you energy and a bit of life, brilliant. But if it's not, be conscious of that and do, you don't need 100,000 voices, particularly when you have a goal. And if it's health and fitness, I think just commit to something.
That's a huge part of self-care. When I think of like monitoring your social media, curating your accounts first and foremost, who you're following, but also what time of day you're on, like it's very similar to systems over willpower. Like if you're feeling really hungry and starving, don't go into McDonald's. Like Instagram or social media is like the mental health equivalent of that if you're feeling tired in the evening. And it's very much the self-care angle. What are the things that you do, Dervil? And I've only got a couple of more questions for you, but I know you cover this on dervil.ie. It's in one of the videos that I was watching right before we went on air, actually, about self-care. What's your kind of self-care protocol like?
I try to do something every day physically for my body. So, I mean, last night it was literally going for a walk with a friend of mine. Today it was just doing a bit of a circuit. So physically I try to do something every day, somewhere between 30 to, I always make myself do something. Sometimes it's only 20 minutes, anything up to an hour. It's rarely to almost never an hour, by the way, because I just don't have the time because I'm juggling a lot with the kids. So I do that. In terms of the other thing I think people grossly underestimate is sleep. So I try to sleep 8 hours every night, if not more. And I take these timeouts where I literally sit down and at the moment it is with the journal and I'm like, okay, and I write things out. Like, what's my to-do list? What's this? What's that?
We cut on me slightly there. Yeah, I think sleep is a huge thing there that is very easy. Just a follow up on that, just because you chopped out on me slightly at the end. Do you find that busy mums particularly struggle to prioritize their sleep because of, you know, not necessarily with very young kids, because I know that's a complete disruption for sleep and life in general. But as kids get older, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, do you find that mums still struggle to prioritize their sleep when it comes to their self-care?
Well, I think a big thing that happens is you try to reclaim your time once they're in bed. And I think being I'm strict on myself with that, like with Netflix and stuff. And I'm like, watch one episode and then walk away, get up the stairs and go to bed.
I I love that. I think that is a real mic drop for anyone that's busy and struggling for time. Dermal, the final question I have, and again, you're doing so many things, and I know we're coming out of lockdown now. This episode's going out just not that long after we record it, so we'll hopefully be kind of back into some semblance of normality. But I'm curious, because this might be a work thing, this might be a health and fitness thing, that might be a family or, you know, relationship thing in terms of what you might have planned in the future. But what are you currently most excited about right now?
Oh, I'm most excited about keeping on adding value to our community on Dervil.ie. Like, and I think that's something we've done really well in 2020, and I just want to do even better in 2021. I'm like, I really want to, like, I'm in the middle of review mode, so I'm reviewing everything we're doing at the moment, and I'm going, how do we make it bigger? How do we make it better that people just continue to love it and that we grow the amount of people that are using it?
Love it. And Dervil, as I said, I love your approach to health and fitness. For anybody who's not following your social media channels, I highly recommend you go check out Dervil on Instagram in particular. That's where I'm following most of your stuff, Dervil. But I think that holistic approach, I love the healthy lifestyle, the focus, Dervil.ie, the journal, the books. You're putting so much out there for people and providing value. So I absolutely love that. But Dervil, can you tell people listening personally, where's the best place for them to connect with you? Is it on Instagram? Is it through the website, Dervil.ie? Is there a particular place you like people to contact you on? Give those details now.
Yeah, so I mean, on Instagram, I'm dervilo.rourke. In terms of the website, it's www.dervil.ie, and we have a gorgeous community there. So I think if you're looking to start something, that is the place to find us.
And for everybody listening, I will link those all in the show notes for today's episode on briankeenfitness.com, and they'll also be in the description wherever you're listening to podcasts. Dervil, so long overdue. Absolutely love this. Thank you so much again.
Thanks for having me.
There you have it. Dervil work on building a healthy lifestyle, reflecting on failure, and looking out for the major things that hold us back. Absolutely love this episode. On Thursday, I will be releasing my newsletter, my weekly newsletter, on my top three takeaways from today's podcast. So I'm going to have a think on those over the next couple of days. So just to subscribe to that, just head over to briankeenfitness.com. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage and pop your email into the newsletter at the bottom of the page. So anywhere on the website, you'll be able to click on through there. And every Thursday in your inbox, I'll send you my top three takeaways from every podcast that I record on a Monday. So as always, if you enjoyed today's episode, let me know on Instagram. Take a screenshot of today's episode. You can tag Dervil and myself on our Instagram pages, Dervil_O'Rourke and Brian_Keen_Fitness. And if this is your first time listening to the podcast and you enjoyed today's episode, hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button for episodes coming every single Monday. That's all from this week's episode. Catch you all next Monday.